Spanish rose and settled down. You hitched a ride on the southbound Mexican wind. Adios, old friend.
Hey there, howdy, y'all.
Howdy.
Welcome to Nashville Unplugged, the officially unofficial podcast for ABC's Nashville. I'm Amara.
And I'm James.
Welcome to our third episode of Nashville Unplugged. Thank you all for tuning in. Welcome to any new people joining us for the first time. We're really excited about this. Tonight we're talking about season two, episode two, titled Never No More.
And I really loved this episode. I liked the pilot or the first episode from season two, but this one I really liked a lot. I liked it better. I thought the first episode was sort of dealing with a lot of like last season, obviously.
Well, yeah, we were checking in, seeing where all the characters were at, what's going on. I mean, I liked last episode, right? I mean, we had the whole car crash and, you know, all the fallout from that. So that was all good to know, but man,
this was all like the new stuff in this one.
All the characters were really on point.
Yeah. So we open up the first scene. Juliet Barnes is on Conan O'Brien, and she's promoting her new album.
Yay, so Conan!
Yeah, Conan's a Nashville fan, which is exciting. I love Conan and I love Nashville, so this makes me happy.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, is that why they got him? He's a Nashville fan?
I have no
idea. Did you read that?
I don't know.
Oh.
I'm assuming. Why would he say yes?
I don't know. It's it is weird.
Gave him a truckload of cash, I guess. I don't know.
Maybe. But anyways, we love Conan, and so that was really great. And I don't know if you noticed her album, which I think we said last time was titled Within the Dream.
Yeah.
But the actual album cover is just
a huge picture
of her face and then her name, just Juliet, almost as big. And I didn't see the title of the album.
No.
Anyway, I mean, I think maybe it was really small on the album, but the second time we watched this, we even watched it on like a bigger screen in HD, and I still didn't see the name of the album. All I saw was her face and her name as big as all get out.
Yeah. So she's on Conan promoting the new album. Conan congratulates her for winning a female CMA Vocalist of the Year. Makes a joke how she just barely beat him out of the competition.
Yep.
So that was a nice little Conan moment. And then that's very quick. We immediately then cut to Raina and Tandy. And they're coming back home to Raina's house from the hospital. And we find out that Teddy is staying there, and he wants to stay there until she gets better and help her. Raina's kind of like, you don't have to do that, but he's like, no, this is my family. I'm going to help you through this. And then we cut back to Conan, and Conan is asking Juliet about Raina getting out of the hospital. And Juliet's, you know, diplomatic, but you can tell that she's a little frustrated that they're talking about this. And then she makes a joke about how she got out of the hospital so that she could buy her new album.
yeah.
So, you know, typical Juliet, kind of trying to make it all about her. And then we cut to back to Raina and Tandy, and they're talking about Maddie and how Maddie is upset.
Well, yeah, and in the first scene when Raina's coming home to her house, you know, Daphne runs out and gives her a huge hug.
Oh, right, yeah.
And then Maddie just stands in the doorway to roll her eyes. It was like, that's the reason she was here in the scene, to just be an angsty teen and roll her eyes and just go back in. I mean, why would she even come to greet Raina coming home? Like, who was forcing her to be there? Oh. Anyway,
established that she's upset at her mom.
Well, anyway.
So, and then Raina and Tandy are talking about Maddie and how upset she is. Raina says that, you know, mentions about how her mom died in a car crash and how she can't believe that she almost did the same thing to her daughters. Because of Deacon, yeah. And these are all very quick scenes. We're kind of going back and forth. So, and then we cut back to backstage at Conan O'Brien afterwards, Juliet's manager is congratulating her on a great interview. Juliet is upset because they spent the whole time talking about Raina, and Avery is back there. And he's kind of like rolling his eyes. He doesn't even do anything, but Juliet's like, stop it. And he's like, I didn't say anything. She's like, I know what you're thinking. And then we cut to Bucky and Raina back at the house. Bucky is Raina's manager. And Bucky is sort of filling her in on everything that has happened with Edgehill Records. And we find out that Marshall from last season, the head of Edgehill, has been fired. Apparently, he was given $3 million on the way out the door. And
So Edgehill has been bought out by a conglomerate who is being headed by this guy, Jeff Fordham.
Jeff Fordham, who apparently went to, like, Harvard.
Yeah, he's a Harvard MBA bean counter, yeah. Bucky says.
So he's not creative. He's a businessman. And Raina says, you know, I don't want to rest. I want to meet with him right away. Because she wants to make sure that her record label, Highway 65, is still going to happen because of how hard they worked at it. And so even though she really is still sort of recovering, she wants to get right back into it. Then we cut to Gunner at the front of Deacon's house, and he's dropping stuff off at the front porch. Scarlett is staying at Deacon's place. Scarlett opens the door, kind of surprises him, and he's like, oh, I was leaving your stuff. Scarlett says that her friend Zoe is going to stop by the house to pick up her stuff, the rest of her stuff, their furniture, including her couch. And Gunner mentions that the couch got burned. He gives her like some cash or a check for the amount. It's a little bit of an awkward moment. Gunner mentions that, basically he's having writer's block. He can't write. The publishing company that he works for is sort of giving him a hard time. They want him to write some new songs, and he's having trouble writing songs. He's obviously depressed. And he asks Scarlett, well, hey, can we get together? Maybe throw some ideas around. He mentioned something about how the melodies are coming, but not the lyrics. And that was always Scarlett's strong point. And she's like, this is not a good idea right now. And then they both sort of awkwardly say goodbye. Then we cut to Edgehill Records, and Juliet Barnes is there meeting with Jeff for the first time, and Juliet's trying to be nice, welcoming him to Nashville. She says, now that you're in Nashville, you have to say howdy.
No, you have to say y'all.
And, Jeff is sort of like, ha ha ha, let's cut the business, and basically says, your album is not doing as well as we had liked. The public is not welcoming it. It's dropping on iTunes. The tweens are not with her anymore. And Juliet's like, well, you know, as you know, I'm trying to grow as an artist. The bubblegum and glitter is not something I'm really interested in anymore. And Jeff says, well, it's something that I'm interested in. So we sort of right away are learning that this guy is all about the dollars and making sure that the company...
And he doesn't really care for Juliet at all because he doesn't see her as making money.
Yeah, so already we got this new guy in town. Then we cut to Raina.
We've established the villain for the season.
Yes, and last season Marshall was... sometimes a villain.
He wasn't really the villain. Juliet was the villain last season.
Marshall had his moments where he didn't like him, but he really did kind of, you know, especially after Wrong Song, he kind of had their backs. And so this is definitely like throwing a wrench into everybody's plans. So now we cut to Raina and Scarlett and Will, and they're outside of Edgehill in the lobby. And, basically, Scarlett tells Raina that she's staying with Deacon, and is that going to be okay? Is it going to be awkward? Because she knows that Deacon and Raina aren't really talking to each other because of this car wreck.
Yeah, and Raina says, honey, if in Nashville, everyone who was living in had a complicated relationship didn't work together, we wouldn't get a thing done.
Yeah. Will shows up. They're ready to go upstairs to meet with Jeff. Juliet comes out.
Yeah, they see Juliet and Raina see each other for the first time since the car accident. And she goes, Juliet comments that she didn't think that Raina would be up and doing anything. And Raina goes, can't keep me down. And I think that my theory about people's clothing colors maybe is doesn't matter. I don't know. But in this scene, Juliet's in white and Raina's in black. And the Jeff Fordham is in a white shirt and a black coat. There's lots of white and black. And Scarlett's in a blue and white dress. And Will had a black hat on.
Well, he's a cowboy.
No, he has that black cowboy hat, which, I mean, is consistent because he probably only owns one really nice cowboy hat. But So then
Juliet is coming out. They see each other for the first time. Raina asks Juliet what this new record label head guy is like, and Juliet just responds, he's an ass. And then we cut to the meeting. They're back at the room where Jeff is. Now it's Raina, Scarlett, and Will. And the meeting is almost the exact opposite of Juliet's meeting. I mean, this guy is just kissing Raina.
No, he says, this is the meeting that I'm excited for. Yes. She's like, between your demos and your back catalog, this is the meeting I was most excited to take today.
Yeah, and he calls, he says something along the effect of, these people, this is the future of Edge Hill Records.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, I invest in what I believe in, and I got your back as an artist.
Oh, yeah, he makes a comment to Raina that she can go ahead and rest as long as she wants, because he's got her back.
Yeah.
And the minute he said that, I said, he's a snake in the grass.
Yeah.
There's no way that I trust that guy.
So then that meeting happens, and then we cut over to Deacon's house. Deacon and Scarlett are in the kitchen. Scarlett's trying to get Deacon something to eat.
I think she's trying to push a box of cereal towards him. It looked like maybe like some kind of Kashi pumpkin flex cereal or something like that.
Which I don't think Deacon would ever eat either. Right? Like, depressed.
Do they sell that stuff in Nashville?
Sure. We have organic grocery stores.
You mean organic chicken and...
Yeah.
And then organic oil to fry it in. And...
Scarlett mentions that Juliet has booked a specialist for Deacon's hand. Deacon gets upset and basically tells Scarlett, get off my back. Scarlett gets mad at Deacon and then says, why are you upset at me? And then Deacon sort of apologizes and said, look, you know, I don't care. Oh, yeah, Scarlett says something in effect like, are you upset that I'm working with Raina? And Deacon's like, no, all of that is great. You know, I'm really happy for you. But, you know, you've got the artist part of this industry down. But the business part, they're going to eat you alive. And then we cut to Roberta's, which is in downtown Nashville. It's like another country joint. And Will is performing there. I didn't catch the name of this song.
I don't know that we heard the name of the song at all, but I think it might be called The Fallen.
Yeah.
He kept talking about The Fallen.
And, you know, Will is playing with gusto, you know, doing his bravado thing that he does so well. Everybody's loving it. He finishes the song and leaves the stage. And who is in the crowd but Jeff?
Yep.
The head of Edge Hill. And he starts talking to Will and again says that he's the future of country music.
He said, well, you haven't signed your contract with Highway 65 yet.
Yeah.
And he sees him as the future of country music.
And he basically wants to poach him.
Yeah.
From Highway 65. He says, Highway 65 is the Little Leagues. And I want
it is, to... No, he said it's the Farm.
The Farm League.
No, it's the Farm. We're the majors.
Yeah, so then that's all before the first commercial break.
Yeah, that's all act one.
Yeah, so a lot happens before the first commercial break.
When we come back from commercial, we see Raina talking to Maddie, and Raina wants to know what Maddie's thinking, and Maddie says she's thinking, what happens now? She's in this really weird spot where does she start treating Deacon like a dad, and like, how is any of this gonna work? And she's being really angsty and teenagery. And I still love Maddie and Daphne, but I just think it's funny how angsty she's being. And but then I would probably be the same way. I mean, what a crazy thing to happen to you.
Yeah.
Like, this guy who's, you know, really close family friend, you know, probably treated you kind of like a daughter his whole life. And then, or your whole life, and then he turns out he's actually your dad. Like,
yeah.
I mean, she's...
Well, it's, I mean, most kids, when their parents go through a divorce, that's already traumatic enough.
Yeah. So oh, yeah. On top of her parents getting divorced.
And this crazy car crash.
Yeah. So, but she doesn't seem as concerned about the car crash.
Yeah.
Now that Raina's okay. Next scene, we go see, Will sees Brent, who is the guy that he saw before at, in season one at the restaurant. In the last episode, he was at the housewarming party. He's a guy that we have established that, Will has hooked up with in the past, but, you know, now he's being a total closet case. And it turns out that Brent is the marketing guy for Edge Hill Records and, like, Jeff's right-hand man. He's like, you guys are going to make a real good team.
Yeah, awkward.
So, basically, Will is going to join Edge Hill so that he can do gay stuff on tour with Brent. Or at least that's my prediction. Next, we see Juliet on her private plane, and she's heading to Alabama because she wants to do anything she can to get her album back to number one or her single to number one. And CMT's the country music television, right?
Yeah.
Has been wanting to do a special, so she's going to go back to Alabama and show them her roots. Then we see Raina and Teddy talking, and he takes her hand and says that he'll always be there. And then Bucky comes in and they kind of awkwardly stop holding hands. And Raina says she's glad Bucky's there. They need to go over all these contracts. And Bucky tells her that Jeff is trying to poach Will. Then we go to Deacon. Deacon's in the car with Scarlett driving. He sees all these flowers and a kind of a shrine / memorial where the crash happened. And he asks what that is. And Scarlett informs him he's been there since the accident happened. And they pass whatever exit Deacon thought they were going to. And Scarlett goes, well, we're not going there. I'm taking you to the doctor's and you're going to do that appointment. And Deacon starts being a jerk and complaining about it and telling her to stop the car. He's going to get out. And Scarlett, you know, mans up, for lack of a better term, and says, shut up.
Yeah. We see a side of Scarlett in this episode that we have not seen before.
Yeah. She's somewhere between, I don't know. I mean, she's kind of being a mom, but she's just trying to put Deacon in his place and tell him, quit acting this way.
Yeah,
and
quit feeling sorry for yourself.
So she tells him to shut up and takes him to the doctor's appointment. Then we go to the trailer park where Juliet grew up. And the CMT crew's there and they see each other. And then we cut to Gunner trying to write a song. And he's trying, his lyrics sound like a beer jingle.
Yeah.
He's like, when I reach for a beer, makes me want to get on a steer, or like something like that. And Will gets up and pokes fun at him, and Gunner's like, what are you just doing up? It's 4 p.m. He's like, yeah, I couldn't sleep last night. I got Edge Hill made me an offer, and then there was this guy Brent, and Gunner just is fed up and annoyed, and he's like, I don't want to hear about how your problems are. You got two record deals to choose from. And they are kind of, you know, riffing on each other. And then Zoe comes in and asks if she can get the furniture that hasn't been burnt. Then the next scene is Raina breaking into a meeting that Jeff's having, and he yells at him about trying to poach Will, and Jeff informs her that he wants nothing to do with her fledgling label, and that they can both try and get Will on their team and may the best man win kind of thing. And, you know, he's interested in her back catalog and Will. And Raina says, so my back catalog and not my new stuff and Will, not Scarlet.
Yeah.
So we find out that really that's all he cares about is making money, and he can make money, he thinks, off of Will and Raina's back catalog. And he wishes her the best of luck. And she says, you can keep that luck. I make my own luck. Or something like that. But basically, it sounded to me like she was telling him to kiss her luck as it's going out the door. Just like she said to Marshall in the first season. I think in episode 2 of the first season,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
So then we have our next commercial break.
Yeah. And so then when we come back from the commercial break, we're back in Alabama with Juliet and the CMT camera crew. We find out that the name of the town that she grew up in was Enterprise, Alabama. And it's like a trailer park where she grew up. They're interviewing her. She's talking. And then suddenly this woman, Carrie Franklin, comes up to her. And it's a woman who lived 2 trailers down from Juliet. And she's older and she's crying. And she says, you know... Juliet tells the camera and the interviewer that this woman sort of took care of her when she was alone, and that Juliet used to come over to her place and make peanut butter cookies. And Carrie Franklin tells her that she's been following her career ever since she got big, and you know, she's just...
No, her whole life.
Her
she's
whole
been,
life,
yeah. Not just when she went big.
And she's crying, and then she gives her this quilt that is made up of pictures of Juliet when she was, like, a little child. And
All the way up until now. There was pictures from every stage of life.
Yeah, and then they cut the camera, and Juliet kind of walks away. It's, like, very emotional for her.
Well, it seems like that whole scene was kind of staged. Like, that lady was supposed to come up to her and, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah.
But anyways.
So then Avery says to Juliet, well, that's a really nice quilt. And Juliet's just kind of like, well, you can have it. And kind of
I don't think she really gets mad, honey.
It's just like...
No, she's like, if you like it, keep it. Like, she's being kind of she's being all business.
Yeah.
And it was a nice quilt. It was really... The back of it had the back part. The front part was all the different pictures had been kind of screened on or ironed on to the fabric. And the back fabric was a bunch of different musical instruments and musical note fabric. That in black and white, it really looked pretty nice, actually.
But see, she does wad it up and kind of like hand it to him.
Well, yeah, she says you can keep it, but I don't think she does it angrily. She's just like, I don't want anything to do with this.
Yeah. So so then we cut to the Ryman, and Will and Raina are sitting. The Ryman's empty, Ryman Auditorium, but they're sitting sort of up in the balcony, and it's empty, and they're looking at the stage, and Raina's having a heart to heart with Will. Saying, you know, I know that you're being asked to sign with Edgehill, and it's really flattering, and it's great, but, you know, those are just words coming out of Jeff's mouth. He doesn't really care for you as an artist. I want to watch you grow, and I want to help you find your voice, and I will always have your back. And Will sort of says something to the effect of, like, well, you know, I'm really... he doesn't really believe in himself as a songwriter. Or as an artist. He thinks that he's just a guy that can, like, sing songs.
Yeah, and I immediately thought, well, it just sealed it for me that he was going to go with Edgehill because he's too scared to take a leap.
Yeah.
And the lighting in this scene was super cool.
Yeah.
It's like the sun was streaming in. It looked very pretty.
Yeah. And so then we cut to Zoe and Gunner. Gunner is moving the furniture into a van, Scarlet's furniture. And Zoe is talking about how she knows about his brother passing away. She knows that he's having writer block. Gunner's like, God, well, you know everything about me. And she's like, well, I am Scarlet's best friend. And he's like, well, all I know about you is that you're a preacher's daughter.
Bowing chicken, bow wow, how long before Zoe and Gunner hook up?
They don't hook up. They're going to. Though.
I said how long before they hook up?
2 episodes.
Really?
Yeah.
Just 2?
Maybe 3. I don't know.
I think it'll be a winter break. It'll be a
okay.
Maybe. Okay. Or it'll be a winter break thing when Scarlett finds out. Who knows?
Yeah, yeah.
Who knows?
We're getting a little bit ahead, but so then he mentions the writer's block, and then she's like, well, you have a broken heart. What else do you need to write songs? And then we cut to Raina and Tandy. They're talking about Teddy and how, you know, helpful he's been, but she's not really sure about this. And she's also talking about how she might lose Will as an artist on her label. And then she's also talking about, should I tell her about Maddie?
No, she said she wonders how long it'll be before...
Because Scarlett's living with...
Yeah, before Scarlett finds out about Maddie and Raina... That's what Tandy says, and Raina says, probably not long. Blood's thicker than water.
Yeah.
Raina has all those fun phrases.
She has all the best colloquialisms.
Yeah.
And then we cut to Deacon and Scarlett. They're with the doctor. The doctor is saying, well, you know, you really hurt your hand really bad in this accident. It may not heal.
Yeah, properly. We don't know how if you're ever going to be back to your kind of normal, basically. Yeah. And Scarlett says, well, you said maybe, so he might could get better. That's what she says. Mike could get better.
Yeah. And basically the doctor is saying, well, if you're not going to take meds, which Deacon can't because he was addicted to pain pills, basically, you know, you can start physical therapy or we can put a cast on your hand. But if we put a cast on your hand and you put off physical therapy, it's just going to decrease the chances of you getting your hand back to the way it was. And Deacon's like, that's all I need to know. Put the cast on. That's it. You know, basically resigning himself to the fact that he is not going to be able to play music anymore. Or right. Not as well as he obviously can. And then I believe that's it. Yeah, that's it for the... So then we cut to another commercial.
And then we come back. Brent shows up at Will and Gunner's and tells Will that he needs to stop jumping every time he sees him, that he's not going to stand in his way. He knows how important he is to Jeff, and, you know, he's not going to mess up his chance of making it. And they have this kind of weird moment where I'm like, yep, they're just going to go on tour, mess around, and this is going to cause a big old scandal. Then we cut to Deacon... is at the crash site looking at all the shrine that's been built there. We cut to Juliet looking at the yellow trailer that she lived in. She said that it was white, but they painted it yellow because yellow is a happy color, and her parents let her pick out the color. And the interviewer mentions that she doesn't really talk about her dad much. And she goes, yeah, she talks about, she sees this metal sun thing that she said that her dad made for her. Gave it to her on her fourth birthday, like the night before he died.
Yeah, and it's the first time we have ever heard
her talk about her dad at all. Like, and apparently he died when she was four. Now I think one of two things: either this really happened, and oh my gosh, she is an orphan, and like it really seemed heartfelt, and like she was telling the truth, or this is a story she made up. And her dad's going to show up, and this is going to bite her in the ass.
Yeah, I think that's a distinct possibility.
But it did seem heartfelt. She's a very good actress. And, you know, she asked if the camera can cut. Because I also wonder, how much would she have remembered if she was only four?
Yeah.
Like, how much of him would she really have remembered? Avery asks her if she wants to talk. She says she just wants to sell records, which is what I was saying before. That's all she's about. She's business, business, business. When we go to Raina, meets Deacon at the crash site, and he's saying he's sorry he called her. He knows he shouldn't have, but that she's the one he always calls, and she says she can't be that one he calls anymore, and that she's moving on. And she says, we didn't die here. we need to go off and we need to save ourselves on our own now, basically. And she gives him the ring that he had proposed to her with in the flashback that we saw last episode. I guess she said she'd been holding on to it, I guess thinking that one day they would get together and they would need it. And
yeah.
Instead, she gives it back to him, and it's so final. It's so over.
Yeah. But it can't be because of Maddie. Like, there's no way that they can ever be fully separated from each other.
Well, I mean, I don't know how much Deacon's going to be involved in Maddie's life. I mean, that's a whole other question. But, I mean, between them, their romance is over. I mean, I would hope that's not true forever, but Connie Britton's just a brilliant actress. But man, did I feel Deacon's pain.
Yeah.
He knows, I mean, there's nothing he can say, but oh, just look on his face, that heartbreak. That just kills me. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
And then we go the next commercial break.
Wait, one more thing. And then after she leaves.
Oh, yeah.
He throws the ring away. On the pile of, like, flowers and stuff.
So yeah.
That was pretty significant, I thought.
Kind of.
So then we cut commercial break, and then when we come back, Teddy is with the kids and with Raina. Kids run inside, and are they're in, like, the kitchen.
Well, Raina comes home from meeting Deacon.
Yeah.
The girls are going to bed. And he tells them he can't stay up past 10.
Yeah. And then Raina and Teddy have a talk. And Raina says, look, you know, I really appreciate everything you've been doing, but we shouldn't play house. You know, this is confusing to the girls. It's confusing to us. And Teddy's kind of like objecting, like, you're not ready to do this all by yourself. And Raina's like, Tandy can stay here. This would be the easy thing to do for you to say and sort of pretend that it's okay, but we need to move on. So Raina's really, like she said at the end of episode one, she's ready to move forward and sort of get past these two people.
Right.
And, Teddy kind of accepts this, and then we see Daphne sitting on the top of the stairs sort of watching this, and she's heard this entire conversation.
Although, I just like to point out, I think Teddy is lying. Teddy, like, says something to her about how he's like, well, you know, I didn't think we were going to get back together. I don't even think that's something that I would want. But I think he's lying.
Yeah,
I think he wants to get back together with her, and he's just trying to say anything.
Yeah.
I don't think this is the end of him trying to get back together with her.
I never know. I never believe anything that says.
But I do like that Raina says it would be easy for us to stay together, but it's not right, and they can't keep living their lives in limbo.
After that scene, we cut to Deacon, and he's selling all of his guitars, and he has like 50 guitars.
Oh my gosh, and they're all glorious.
Yeah, and so he's selling all of them because he's
having a fire sale.
Yeah, because he's, you know, he has no use for them. He's not gonna be able to play them anymore. Scarlett's there, and she's like, you're a damn fool. Deacon's like, stop nagging me.
Yeah, they start to have this fight, and by the way, there's a guy on this, like, I don't know, they're on some kind of stage or something.
Yeah.
There's a guy on the stage, like, tagging all the guitars, and then they start having this fight. I'm like, can he hear what they're saying? But, yeah, anyways, continue.
Yeah, so Scarlett's like, you're a fool, you know, and we find out that Deacon's father was an alcoholic and a drunk, because Scarlett says, you know, you said to me your whole life that you didn't want to grow up, you didn't want to be a bitter old drunk like your dad, and here you are, you're not even an old man, you're sober.
No, he says, you're exactly like him, except you're stone cold sober.
Yeah, so what was that 13 years of sobriety, what was that all for?
What was it worth throwing away? And before that, he says to her, he goes, I got no Raina, I got no music. I have nothing, I am nothing.
Yeah, and then he also reveals to Scarlett.
Well, yeah, and so that's when she yells at him and says that he's being like his dad.
Yeah.
And what was 13 years of sobriety worth throwing away for?
Yeah, and so then Deacon reveals that Maddie Conrad is his daughter.
And that Raina never told him because he's a drunk, and he agrees with her decision because he doesn't deserve to be a dad, and... So, you know, and that's a big reveal to Scarlet, but we don't really get to see what her reaction so much to that is.
So then we cut to a very short scene, I guess, in Maddie's room. Daphne and Maddie are sitting there on the bed, and basically Maddie is telling Daphne, well, you know what, it's you and me against the world. And then we see Raina sort of peeks in, Maddie rolls her eyes again, and now it cuts to Raina in the hallway with Tandy, and she's saying, you know, this thing with the girls is a disaster, but I have to go to this party. And, oh, we didn't mention that Jeff is throwing a big party for all the artists at Edge Hill.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, and Tandy's like, should you really go to that? And Raina's like, I need to go to that, you know?
No, no. Raina says she doesn't want to think she should. Yeah. Raina says she doesn't think she should go because she doesn't want to leave the girls. They've got to figure out what's going on. Tandy says it's going to take a while to figure out what's going on with Maddie. And it's going to take a while to fix that. You need to go get Will on your label, get this taken care of, and you can't let Jeff show you up.
Yeah. So then we cut to the Bluebird. It's open mic night, and Gunnar gets up, and he sings a song that he's written. And it was a song that you heard at the intro of this podcast, which is called, what's it called?
It's, I'll look it up. Yeah. Keep talking.
So, he sings this very beautiful song. You heard a bit of it at the beginning of the podcast.
It's called Adios, Old Friend.
Oh, okay. I was right. I had that written down. I should have just trusted myself. And Zoe and Will are watching him, and the song is all about his brother. It's a beautiful song.
Oh, so pretty.
And we see, you know, Will tells Zoe that, you know, he's only written two songs since he got into Nashville, and they both were awful. And Zoe, we also...
No, he doesn't say that to Zoe. He says that to Gunnar.
Oh, he says that afterwards, right. Yeah. You're right, sorry. And then we see a shot of Zoe looking at Gunnar as he's performing, and it's
And she tells Will that it's about his brother.
Yeah. And then we cut to Juliet and Avery. They're at Juliet's house. They're watching the special on TV. And
the CMT special that she recorded.
Yeah, and Avery basically says something to the effect of, you know, things like that come back around.
No, he says that she doesn't need to use her sad story to sell records. And she says, well, my sad story just sent my single to number one on iTunes. And he goes, well, I'm just saying stuff like that can have a way of coming around.
Yeah. And that was the line that kind of made you think maybe this father might not be dead. And then, Juliet's like, why do you care so much? And Avery's like, because we're friends. And then he's like, aren't we?
Yeah.
You know? And Avery's been bad this year.
Juliet
so
kind of gives him a look like, yeah, kind of, I guess we are friends, you know? She doesn't say that, but that's kind of what her look says.
Yeah. And then we cut back to the Bluebird, Will and Gunnar. And this is when Will tells Gunnar how great the song was and also mentions that he's only written two songs. And since
they were both crap and that Gunnar wrote that song in an afternoon.
Yeah. And that he's a great songwriter, even without Scarlett. And then we cut to Jeff's party at his mansion. Raina's coming in, Will walks in, and Jeff welcomes Will to Edge Hill Records. So we find out for sure that Will has decided to go with the Edge Hill as opposed to going with
the just walk right past Raina.
And then, Juliet, we see Juliet there with Avery, Jeff, and talks to, Juliet, and basically Juliet's like, you see my single is now number one on iTunes, and he's like, yeah, did I miss something? Am I missing something? You're looking at me like I missed something.
No, did you cut to commercial?
Oh, sorry. Is that that is a commercial?
Okay,
we go back and forth.
When we come back from commercial, yeah, Juliet gives a bottle of champagne to Jeff, Avery introduces himself, and she's like, "My single one, number one on iTunes." And he's like, "Jeff's like, yeah, great. I want to introduce you to someone. Her name is Layla, and she just finished second on the show Hitmakers." And we see this young ingenue come prancing over. And she says, oh my, she's such a big fan of Juliet's. Oh my goodness. And Juliet's like, oh, look at you, from nothing to Nashville in 12 weeks. And Layla's like, I know, that show just took forever.
Yeah.
Layla's not even country, first of all. Second of all, she seems dumber than dumb.
Yeah.
And, anyways, we cut to Scarlett tells Deacon that he can do, that he was wrong, that he said that there's nothing he can do about anything, can't do anything about Raina or Maddie or anything that's going on there. And she goes, maybe you can't do anything about that, but you can do everything about your hand, and you need to man up, do something about it.
Yeah.
And she gives him another talking to, and puts a fire under his butt. Then we cut to Bucky consoling Raina. Will comes over and apologizes, and Raina warns him that he better watch his back, because she's seen Jeff's true colors.
Yeah.
She's seen his hand. And that, you know, best of luck to you. She understands it was just business, but he better watch his back.
Yeah, and Will says, I'm just a guy who's good at singing other people's songs, which is not true.
And well, Raina says that. She goes, I don't agree with you. I think that we really could have made something, which is what she had told him when they were in the Ryman, too.
Yeah.
Then we kind of cut back and forth between these scenes pretty quick. Deacon is rummaging around for a saw to cut his cast off with. He starts cutting his cast off, which I predicted earlier when we were watching the show. I was like, I bet he's going to cut that cast off. The minute they said the word cast, I'm like, he's going to cut it off. Then we cut to Jeff introducing Layla. Layla Grant is her name, and he introduces her to the crowd and says that, congratulations, because Layla's single just went number one on iTunes, and Juliet about shits a brick.
Yeah, because her song had just been number one, and Jeff didn't care at all.
And no, but also that, but also she just knocked Juliet from number one.
Yeah, yeah.
And she also, Juliet kind of chokes on the champagne that she's drinking.
Yeah. And there's also earlier when Jeff introduces her as this runner-up, Juliet makes a remark, what, you couldn't get the winner?
No, yeah, what? She says that to Avery as they walk away, what, he couldn't get the winner? Then it cuts, quick cut over to Deacon as he's cut his cast off. He's trying to play his guitar. And then cut to Layla seeing, she gets up and she says, I'm going to sing what I sang on the show, like the Hitmaker show or whatever. It's a Juliet Barnes classic, which really doesn't gel well with Juliet. And so she starts to sing, and it doesn't sound country. It sounds so pop. Like, I know Juliet, some of Juliet's songs have sounded kind of poppy, but a lot of them still sounded, had a country, little bit of country too.
Or anything in this.
No, it's just blech. It's worse than Bubblegum and Glitter. I mean, I don't know. I know we're not supposed to like her, but they did a really good job of making me not like her. And during it, one of the predominant lyrics in the song was, I'm gonna get even. And it just made me think, well, that must mean Juliet's gonna get even. Raina's gonna get even. There's a part during the song where she's, and Layla's also being pretty provocative singing it.
Yeah.
And there's a look between Raina and Scarlett, like, and just them. I don't know if it was like them. They were kind of like, Raina was looking at Scarlett like, don't worry, girl. We ain't never doing anything like that.
Yeah. Well, I think Scarlett, you know, because going back to what Deacon said.
Yeah,
about the business,
this business is going to eat you alive. Because Scarlett,
right, impressionable girls that they can do whatever with.
Yeah, and Scarlett's not that. And
she's sensitive, you know?
Yeah. So and I guess she's a little impressionable, but not really. Like, she's able, from this episode alone, she's able to stand on her own 2 feet and she knows what she wants.
I think it's a look of, am I going to be able to make it in this kind of a business?
I think Raina's going to take care of her, though. And then Raina leans into Bucky, who's standing next to her, and says that she doesn't like being at Edge Hill anymore, and maybe it's time for her to move on. And Bucky says, That sounds like pride talking, and that's something that comes before a fall. And Raina says it's also something that comes before the victory.
Yeah.
And now James' prediction.
Yeah. Well, I also want to add, when Jeff introduces Layla to the crowd on stage, I didn't notice this before, but his shirt, getting back to the clothes, was like four buttons unbuttoned, and he had a very hairy chest. And
I didn't notice. Interesting that you're noticing guys' hairy chest, James. Interesting.
But also, I noticed that when he introduces her to Juliet, and then also on stage, he's very handsy with her. So I have a theory that Jeff might be,
tapping it.
He might be tapping it, or, you know.
Tappa.
So predictions. Okay, well, I think
James has a very major prediction based off of what Raina said. Yeah. Do you not remember what it is?
About the label?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, she kind of hints at it, but I think definitely Raina is going to try to take Highway 65 away from Edge Hill and start her own label. And I predict, I mean, obviously Scarlett's going to go with her.
Well, Scarlett is going with her.
Because they signed with her. There's going to be a big legal fight of some sort. She's going to start her own label. Scarlett's coming. I think eventually Juliet is going to come with Raina. Not right away, but I think she's going to get sick and come, because they have, we've hinted last season of an alliance eventually forming with them. And I think it'll be how Gunner gets back into the loop with Scarlett eventually as well. Is that they're all going to be part of Highway 65, and they're going to be the new hit, awesome label. It's going to take probably the whole season to develop this, but this is my long-term prediction.
I also think that, we did see, like, the next time on whatever, and we do see Liam there. I think Liam's probably going to play a key part, which is great, because I'm really excited for Liam to come back.
Awesome producer, too.
Well, I just like that character.
Yeah.
And, you know. Raina needs some love.
Yeah. And the father thing, when you first mentioned...
I don't know. There's so many father, like, ties here. Okay, so I don't know what's going to happen with her. But also, we didn't get any more updates on whether... We didn't see Lamar at all this episode.
Yeah, we didn't see Peggy.
So those two storylines, we don't have any updates on. And so this whole, like, he crashed her... Virginia's car. Raina's mom and Tandy's mom, Virginia, that he caused her car to crash. I'm wondering when that's coming back.
Yeah. And then Teddy with Peggy, we don't know what's going on with that, because Teddy this whole episode
was
very nice. And
yeah, there wasn't too much Teddy. I mean, he was in a couple of scenes, but I'm sure that now that he doesn't have Raina anymore, he'll probably try and go back, and then there'll be a big controversy when she's not really pregnant.
Yeah. And as far as Juliet and your prediction with the dad, at first when you made that prediction, I was like, that's crazy. That would never happen. But now I think you're right. I think he's not dead.
I don't know if I'm right or not. God, she was so good. I don't know.
Maybe. I think it's a possibility. And then the other one, obviously, that we are already both in agreement on is Zoe and Gunner.
That's a definite gonna happen.
They're gonna hook up, and that's going to cause problems with Scarlett and Zoe, because they're best friends. And I think it might be the thing that gets Scarlett jealous and wanting to come back to Gunner.
I don't know. I don't know, honey. You don't know what kind of new love interest they're gonna introduce for Scarlett.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And then Will, you think him and this guy are gonna...
Oh, for sure. They're totally setting it up so that they can hook up on tour or whatever. They're gonna be working in close proximity. He's gonna take really good care of you. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Something's gonna happen there. Someone's gonna see them. It's gonna be a thing.
Well, now talking about it, I think maybe what will happen is, because Will doesn't have a lot of confidence and now he's under Edge Hill, they're gonna be very manipulative of his career. And I think then maybe if he tries to leave because he realizes how bad it is, they're going to be able to blackmail him with, like, photos of his affair with this guy. They're going to try to use that eventually because...
Well, what is the scandal?
Well, it's a soap opera on ABC, you know? I mean...
Yeah, but it's still Connie Britton.
This is my vague predictions.
So that's all we have for today. You can find more of us on our Tumblr, Unplugged Nashville, or sorry, NashvilleUnplugged.tumblr.com. We also now have a Facebook page, Facebook.com/NashvilleUnplugged. Do we have Twitter set up?
We don't have Twitter set up. We need to get Twitter set up.
But as always, if you have any comments or questions, please send them in to our Gmail account, which is unpluggednashville@gmail.com. That's the only one that's switched. It's Nashville Unplugged, except for the Gmail, which is Unplugged Nashville. You can send them in there. You can make comments on our Facebook wall, and we'd love to read those on air. We don't have any feedback for this week, so nothing to read, nothing to share with you guys. You can follow me at Mara Ruth on Twitter.
And you can follow me at SpeedRich77 on Twitter.
And you can also now subscribe to us in iTunes. Yeah. You can just search for Nashville Unplugged in iTunes. Hit subscribe. We'd love you all to give us your ratings and reviews. Anything you think we can improve about the show. Anything you don't like. Anything you do like. Anything you love about the show. Any questions you have about the show. I'm sure that other people have those questions too. And, you know, we'd love to share our thoughts with you. So write us in.
Yeah. And thank you so much for listening.
Thank you so much for listening. We really, really appreciate you tuning in. We hope to see you again next week when we'll do episode 3 of season 2. Bye, y'all.
Bye-bye.
You made it far as El Paso. Those Texas Rangers would not let it go. They tracked you down on the banks of the Rio Grande. Adios, old friend. Angels sing for outlaws. I don't know, but I know outlaws pray. And I pray it so, old friend. Adios, old friend. Adios, old friend.